Without saying too much, I'm just going to ask you to give your attention to our brother Jim, for he has a message on his mind at this time.
Thank you, Jay. In the year of 1824, there were only 1,824 churches in the world. That seems kind of small for the whole world, but they just wasn't going to church, I guess. Nowadays, we've got over 33,800 churches in the United States alone. All teaching a different gospel, using a number of different Bibles that man has taken on himself in the past few years to change. They've changed the Bible so much that they've left out and changed more than 64,094 words. That's a lot of words, a lot of changing. The so-called preachers of the day, with the help of these new Bibles, can teach us, if we pay attention, anything they want other than the truth, because they have taken so much out, it's hard to find the truth anymore in what they call the Bible. But when we look at the scriptures, we see that this is not the first time that man has stripped the truth from the scriptures. I'd like to go back to about 600 BC and do some reading. I want to start in 1 Nephi, 3rd chapter. You'll find that this is Nephi speaking here. Page 36. I'm going to start with verse 165. And the angel of the Lord said unto me, Thou hast beheld a book which proceeded forth out of the mouth of the Jew. And when it proceeded forth out of the mouth of the Jew, it contained the fullness of the gospel of the Lord, of whom the 12 apostles bear record. And they bear record according to the truth which is in the Lamb of God. Wherefore, these things go forth from the Jews in purity unto the Gentiles, according to the truth which is in God. And after they go forth by the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, from the Jews unto the Gentiles, behold, from the Jews, after that thou seest the formation of a great and an abominable church, which is most abominable above all other churches. For behold, they have taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts which are plain and precious, and also many covenants of the Lord which they have taken away. And all this they have done that they might pervert the ways of the Lord, that they might blind the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, thou seest that after the book hath gone forth through the hands of the great and abominable church, that there are many plain and precious things are taken away from the book, which is of the Lamb of God. And after that, these plain and precious things were taken away, it goeth forth to all the nations of the Gentiles. And after that, it goes forth unto the nations, all the nations of the Gentiles. It goes across the many waters which thou hast seen, with the Gentiles which have gone forth out of captivity. And thou seest things, seest because of the many plain, precious things which have been taken out of the book, which were plain unto the understanding of the children of men, according to the plainness which was in the Lamb of God. And because of these things which were taken out of the gospel of the Lamb, an exceeding great many do stumble. Yea, inasmuch as Satan hath great power over them. But we see, as we watch the news today, that it wasn't just 600 B.C. We see that the great and abominable is not through with the scriptures yet. Recently, I saw on the news where the Pope has decided he doesn't like the words and the way the Lord's Prayer is written. He wants to rewrite it. I guess maybe his Bible doesn't have Deuteronomy 4:2 in it. Let me read that. Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord God which I command you. Also, we read something like along the same line that's not very good for him, I don't think. 22nd chapter of Revelation, verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which were written in this book. I think that if he decides to rewrite the Lord's Prayer, he's got a problem, if he didn't have a problem in the first place. All this tampering with the scriptures makes us wonder, how do we know that the church we belong to is the right church? I'd like to go to the scriptures and let the scriptures answer it for us. I'd like to go first to 1 Peter, first chapter. Read one verse. Verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Now I'd like to go to James, first chapter. Read one verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. I'd like to go to the 14th chapter, 2 Nephi, page 163. I'm going to start in verse 5. Therefore, after that I have spoken these words, if you cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Therefore, ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. Matthew 7. Verses 6 and 8. 7 and 8, excuse me. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I know that each one of us believe in an unchangeable God. The scriptures are full of places that tell us that he does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And first place that I found that in was in Malachi 3:6. And just one little short verse says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." If he is unchangeable, then the church is here today, just as Jesus set it up. So we might ask ourselves then, did he establish his church here on earth? I'd like to go to Matthew 16. Verse 18, Jesus speaking. "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Ephesians 5, 23 tells us that Christ is the head of that church. It says church, singular, not churches, plural. For proof that he did build his church, we read in Romans with Paul speaking, the seven churches of Asia in chapter 16. It's one little short verse. It says, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." Now I know back there I was talking about singular church, not churches. Paul here is talking churches. But what he's talking about is the locals, like here in Phoenix, Independence, New York, Ontario, to name a few, all churches but part of one church. Jesus tells us in 3 Nephi, page 672, verses 13 to 20. "And they which are baptized in the name of Jesus were called the church of Christ. And it came to pass that the disciples of Jesus were journeying and were preaching the things which they both had heard and seen, and were baptizing in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass that the disciples were gathered together and were united in mighty prayer and fasting. And Jesus again showed himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in his name. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. And Jesus said unto them, what will ye that I should give unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, we will that thou would tell us that by the name by which we call this church. For there are disputations among the people concerning this matter. And the Lord said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it that these people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have ye not read the scriptures, which saith, ye must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name? For by this name ye shall be called at the last day. And whosoever taketh upon him my name, and endure to the end, the same shall be saved at that last day. Therefore, whatsoever ye shall do it in my name. Therefore ye shall call the church in my name, and ye shall be called upon my Father in my name, that he will bless the church for my sake. And how be it my church, save it be called in my name? For if the church is called Moses in Moses' name, then it is Moses' church. Or if it is called the name of a man, it is the church of a man. But if it so be called in my name, then it is my church. If it so be that they are built upon my gospel. Do we think at all that any one of those 33,800 churches here in the United States are all using and teaching the same gospel? No, we know it's not true. And it makes it harder because they can't get away from using the new Bibles out there that has all those losses of words in it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, one short verse, Jesus tells us how to set up his church. And God has set some in the church: first, apostles; secondarily, prophets; thirdly, teachers; and after that, miracles; then gifts and healings and helps of governments, diversities of tongues. And in Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 tells us about the same thing. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, just keep this place right here. We'll come back to this in a minute. Just meantime, go to backwards to Ephesians 2. I'm going to read 19 and 20. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. When we read these things, he says, first, apostles. He didn't say a pope. He didn't say a president. He didn't say a prophet. He didn't say a rabbi. He said, first, apostles. You don't find too many churches in the world with first apostles. Now back to the fourth chapter. I'm going to read verse 5 in the fourth chapter. One little short verse. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. When we look around, there are many churches out there in the world. Many different faiths, not just one. And many teach you nowadays that you don't have to be baptized anymore. Just believe and you're safe. And you're saved. This is the teaching of man. It's not scripture. I'd like to read some in Matthew and John, just what Jesus has to say about baptism. I'm going to start in 3rd Matthew, verses 13 to 16. 3rd Matthew, verses 13 to 16. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered him unto him, saying, Suffer it be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Now go to John 3. One little short verse. John 3:22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. Now the world can say you don't need to be baptized anymore. But the scriptures say you do. And the Lord says you do. You know, if baptism wasn't necessary, why is there so many scriptures that we read that says that you do need to be baptized? When you read that and hear the people say that you don't need to be baptized anymore, you know, they know how to read Mark 16:16. One little short verse. But Mark has a little different language to try and get the point across. He says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Pretty strong language. Now, to emphasize that the Lord doesn't change, I'd like to go to the Book of Mormon and read several scriptures that tells us practically the same thing that I just read. We're going to start in 2 Nephi chapter 6. And you're going to see that he's teaching here the same thing that he taught in the Holy Land. I'm going to start on page 108. Verse 49. "And if they are not, will not repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name and endure to the end, they must be damned." Turn to page 634. Third Nephi, chapter 5. I'm going to read 34 and 35. "And whosoever believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And they which shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whosoever believeth not in me and is not baptized," just like Mark, "they shall be damned." Mormon 712, page 712. Fourth chapter. Verses 84 to 86. "Behold, I say unto you that whosoever believeth in Christ, doubting nothing, whatsoever he shall ask the Father in the name of Christ, it shall be granted him. And this promise is unto all, even unto the ends of the earth. For behold, thus saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, unto his disciples, which shall tarry, yea, also to all his disciples in the hearing of the multitude. Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not," there's the same thing again, shall be damned. I'd like to go to Ether, page 725. I'm going to start in the 112th verse. Go to 115. "Yea, when you call upon the Father in my name with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, then shall ye know that the Father hath remembered the covenant which he has made unto our fathers, O house of Israel. And then shall my revelations, which I have caused to be written by my servant John, be unfolded in the eyes of all the people. Remember, when ye see these things, ye shall know that the time is at hand, that they shall be manifest in every deed. Therefore, when ye shall receive this record, ye shall know that the work of the Father has commenced upon the face of the land. Therefore, repent ye all the ends of the earth, and come unto me, and believe in my gospel, and be baptized in my name. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And the signs shall follow them that believeth in my name. We see in these verses that baptism is necessary. Whether the rest of the world out there says it's not or not, anyway. That also tell you that it's just sprinkle is all right. What did it say back there when John... They went down into the water, and he was baptized. He was immersed. Man tries to change things around to fit him, not what the scriptures tell you. After reading those verses there, I don't know what more proof we need than we find here. Yes, we do need to be baptized. The Lord says so. All of his people that he worked with, the servants of his, said the same thing. And it says here in... 3 Nephi, one verse, page 672, 13th verse says, "And they which were baptized in the name of Jesus were called the Church of Christ." No doubt about it. No beating around the bush. And this church which Jesus set up, he taught many things. Among them was repentance, good works, and we had to be converted as a little child, or we couldn't even enter into the kingdom of heaven. We find that in the 18th chapter of Matthew, 3rd verse. When we know that there are, like I said, there's many churches nowadays, I say you don't have to be baptized. We don't have to have good works. But we read in the scriptures that Christ says we do. And I say that these churches had better take another look at their scriptures if they don't have one of those Bibles that had it taken out. And see what... it says about that. I'd like to go to 2 Nephi, page 157. Verse 66. "For out of the books which shall be written, I will judge the world. Every man according to his works, according to that which is written." Now you go to page 670, 3rd Nephi, 11th chapter, 32nd verse. And even in that great and last day, when all people and all kindreds and all nations and tongues shall stand before God to be judged of their works, whether they be good or evil. Staying in 3 Nephi, go to page 675. I'll read two verses there. First, second, and third. For behold, out of the books which have been written, and which shall be written, shall this people be judged. For by them shall their works be known unto men. And behold, all things are written by the Father. Therefore, out of the books shall be written, shall the world be judged. I'd like to go to Revelation's 20th chapter. Read two verses, 12 and 13. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Something else that the world says you don't need to be judged by, you don't need to worry about. Seventh chapter of Matthew. Thirteenth and 14th verse, seventh chapter of Matthew. Jesus speaking, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which goeth thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And again in 3 Nephi, page 675, we read one verse. Page 675, verse 11. And it came to pass that when Jesus had entered these sayings, he said unto his disciples, enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And few there be that find it. But wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leads unto death. And many there be that travel therein, until the night cometh. Therein no man can work. Proving that he teaches the same thing in this country when he came here after his resurrection, that he taught in the Holy Land. Jesus knew that all men were not going to enter that straight gate. And he knew that all that found that straight gate and entered away, that entered into, would not continue to hold on to that rod of iron, which we know is the Word of God. Some would fall away in that broad way and become lost. If we believe in the scriptures we have read, we can find the right path and learn about the right church. If not, we have to start all over again. The scriptures are plain. There's no gray area. All we have to do is approach our searching for the true church. And Christ's gospel is search prayerfully with an open mind, and God will lead us to the truth. If we can find it and understand it when we read it, why can't others? If you go back to Matthew again, the 13th verse, 14th, it says, Jesus said, few there be that find it. And when he said few, not many, I'm sure that he knew exactly what he was talking about. No doubt about it. He taught common people like we have right here. You and I. The scriptures are plain and simple. Most are easy to understand. It doesn't take a college education to understand what he taught. If we don't understand something that's written, he tells us to seek, and we shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto us. If we seek prayerfully, with full heart and intent, to find the truth, he will open our minds and give us the knowledge of the truth. In John 8:32, he tells us, and we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. It's hard to tell or find the truth when there's so few books out there that actually tell the truth and teach it. You can't find it all there in the new versions of the Bibles. Because as I told you before, they took out 64,098 words. Some of it whole chapters. You're not going to find the truth there. Be mindful of that when you're searching. Try and find the right ones that can lead you on that straight and narrow path. How do we know when we are in the right church? One verse in James. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. I thank you for your time, and may God bless each and every one of us in this new year that's right before us. Thank you very much.